It's good to be with you this morning. My name is Cameron Free. I'm our groups director here. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. I am not Pastor Bill Mitchell. He is on vacation, getting some much needed rest and relaxation. And it's an honor to be with you this morning. I'm happy to be here. If this is your first time, we have a connection center out in the lobby. They're happy to answer any of your questions. I'd love to meet you. Our staff and elders would love to meet you. So visit the connection center in the back afterward. This morning, we're going to be talking about freedom. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. And there's an interesting perspective when we talk about freedom. Most of us in this room understand that there is a pretty common belief in the world when it comes to freedom. And for most of us, we grew up learning that this concept of freedom is about being able to do whatever you want. It's about having no limits. It's about doing what you can do. It's about doing what you want to do. It's about having no absolutes. Ironically, the people that say there are no absolutes believe that that is the only absolute. So it doesn't even make sense logically. So we have this concept of freedom, and it invades every part of our culture. And some of these references might even pass you by. You might not even realize it when it's happening. How many of you guys have seen the Disney movie Frozen? Anybody seen that movie? Awesome. If you haven't seen that movie, you don't have a daughter, or you don't know somebody that has a daughter. There's a really popular song that was in that movie called Let It Go. And it's sung by this character named Elsa. And there's this couple of lyrics that I want you to see. This is what she says in this song. Yes, I'm about to read a Disney lyric in church. Elsa says in the second verse, "It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free." And then she goes on to sing Let It Go, which we're not going to do. I saw some of you guys gearing up. Let it go. No, we're not doing it. Not. So she says, no right, no wrong, no rules, and that's going to somehow equal freedom. I'm really, really sorry, Elsa. It's not how freedom works. And I'm not hating on Disney movies, but if your personal beliefs about freedom align more with a cartoon character than they do the Bible, I believe God has a couple of things for us this morning. You see, the myth about freedom is that it's about having no master. But what we're going to see today is that it's about having the right master. So let's take a look at John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." There's four things that I want us to see today, four aspects to this freedom that we see in John chapter 8. Let's take a look at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." So Jesus here is addressing people who believed but didn't really believe. They kind of believed. It said they had believed here. When you dig a little bit deeper, you can see that these are people that said they believed, but their actions didn't line up with that. They said that they believed, but they didn't really believe. I know this is about to get deep real quick, real fast, but we need to see this. It is possible to think that you believe and to not believe. It is possible to say that you believe and not believe. Where these guys are is one of the most dangerous places that you can be in this room. To think that you believe but not. And Jesus addresses this. We see this in James chapter 2, verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" The implication there is that it does not save. We're not going to get into faith and works. That could be a whole series on its own. But the reality is that if there is faith in your life, that it should show up in the way that you act. That Jesus is not meant to just be believed, but obeyed. Not just to be accepted, but applied in your life. There should be some fruit. There should be some proof of on the outside of what's going on the inside. And Jesus mentions abiding in the word. We're going to come back to that. Verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus is saying here that truth is pretty important. And when you look throughout Scripture, there's different relationships that people have to truth. Believers are described throughout Scripture as being committed to the truth. We see that in Proverbs 23, that we love the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, that we walk in the truth, Psalm 26. But unbelievers, like these guys, 1 Timothy 6 says that they're deprived of the truth. 2 Timothy 2, they have gone astray from the truth. Why is truth so important when it relates to freedom? Because if you don't know what truth is, if you think you know the truth about what leads to freedom, but it's not true, then it's not going to lead to freedom. It's that simple, but I want to make sure that we get it. If you think you know what leads to freedom, but you don't, if you're deceived like these guys were deceived, it does not lead to truth. It does not lead to freedom. Let's take a look at verse 33. They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" These guys refused to believe that there was something wrong with them. They thought that they were good because they were connected to Abraham. They're like, "Nah, Jesus, we're good. We're descendants of Abraham," as if that's supposed to mean something there. It's the equivalent of now saying, like, "Nah, I'm good. My parents go to church. I'm good. I went to church when I was younger." It's a shallow excuse. It's a shallow justification that these guys throw out to try to say that what Jesus is saying is not true. And it's not a good place to be. These guys did not like the idea that Jesus was saying that they were enslaved. They didn't like that. So they started throwing out these reasons. So they started to justify why the truth about what Jesus is saying isn't true and doesn't apply to them. How many of you guys do that? You hear the truth, you know the truth, and you start to throw out these reasons why that truth doesn't apply to you somehow. We all do it. God, God, if you really knew what was going on, you'd know that that doesn't really line up with my plan and my way of doing things and my ideas for my life. And you know what, that God, that's really going to hurt my reputation if I do that. Or God, I just don't know if I'm in that season right now. You are always in the season of obedience. So if Jesus is saying something, these guys, they're staring face to face with what John 14 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. They're staring truth in the face, and they're throwing up these justifications why it doesn't apply to them. They're being deceived, and many of you in this room today are being deceived. Let's take a look at their arguments. So they say these two things. They say, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been enslaved to anyone." Let's just break these down for a second. We're Abraham's descendants. Technically true. But what Jesus is going to go on to do later in this chapter that we're not going to get to today is he's basically going to roast these guys, and he's going to say, "You are nothing like Abraham." So to connect yourself to Abraham, thinking that that's going to help you out, that's not going to happen. Abraham is described in Isaiah as being a friend of God, and these guys want to kill Jesus. They think that they're connected to Abraham, but it's a shallow connection. They think it's going to help them, but it's not. So they said, "We're Abraham's descendants." And then the second thing, "We've never been slaves to anyone," which is just completely not true. It's not even halfway true or most, it's not even close. Historically, they had been slaves to Rome, Macedonia, Egypt, just to name a few. Their argument isn't even a good one. The first aspect to this freedom that I believe God wants us to see today is that God wants us to be free from deception. Free from deception. How does this deception manifest in our lives? Many of us in this room are deceived. The reality is we don't always realize that we're being deceived, that we are a slave to our sin. And these guys here were so proud of their religion, they didn't realize their need to be free. And instead of just walking away from Jesus, or better yet, submitting to him, they kind of ride the line and they engage in these games with Jesus, throwing out these justifications why the truth doesn't apply. They said that they believed, but they did not believe. And if your temptation in that moment, if you go, no, I'm free from deception, but I'm just going to free myself, I'm really sorry. That's not going to work. That is not how to work. It's not going to work because you're the problem. The problem is not outside of you as if you could fix it. The problem is you. The problem is in you, and you can't fix it. And the way that this goes for many of you is that you take an issue in your life and you go, I'm going to fix this. I'm just going to fix it myself. And then the rest of your life just starts to go down. And there's all these things that begin to mount up, and you can't fix yourself fast enough. And it's not going to work because there's no heart change there. You're just trying to modify your behavior. You're just trying to be good enough so that God will love you. And he wants us to be free from this deception today. And he provides a better way. So first, we see that we are free from deception. Let's look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever practices sin is a slave to sin." He says, truly, truly, like this is very true. Listen up. Whoever practices sin is a slave to sin. Do you sin in this room? Yeah, I wasn't looking for an audible yes, but I appreciate that. Yes. The transparent people. Those are the people that you want in your group. So yes, if you sin, you are a slave to sin. Basically what he's saying is a lot of people think, oh, well, I just sin real quick and then I just walk away from it. The reality is that you sin and then you try to walk away and you find that you're stuck, that you are a slave to that activity. The way that this works in many of our lives is that we feel this lack of satisfaction in our life. We have this desire that we need to fill in our life, and so we run to something, whether it's pouring ourselves into our work, or we're looking for money to satisfy us, or a relationship, or power, or independence, or dependence, or a substance, and we run to those things, and the reality is that they work for like 1 minute. And despite the fact that they have failed you over and over and over again and have done nothing that leads to lasting freedom, we run back to them over and over and over again. These things that we run to promise us freedom, but they lead to slavery. We think that we're going to become free by indulging in whatever we want, but these things lead to slavery. And that's what Jesus is saying. And as slaves, we can't break free. We need a power outside of ourselves, greater than our own. And what we really need is a loving father. And Jesus describes this relationship here. He says in verse 35, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." The first thing that we see is that we're free from deception. Secondly, we are free as sons. We're free from deception. We're free as sons. the difference between spiritual freedom and bondage, slavery, being enslaved, is whether you are a son or a slave. The reason Jesus uses this example is because the son in a house would have rights, would get the inheritance. The slave could be gone at a moment's notice. The slave in a house was not guaranteed anything. The son, though, the son could even leave, like we see in the prodigal son, and return, and is still the son. Being a son or being a slave is, it's extremely important to get that part. That Jesus wants us to be free as sons. So question to you today, are you a son or are you a slave? Do you see yourself as God's child? Do you see God as your father? Or are you too busy looking for freedom in other things, in other pleasures, in other things that you think are going to lead to freedom, but that don't? I love this quote by a guy named J.I. Packer. He says, "What is a Christian? The richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. If you want to know how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well at all." You should see God as your father. You should see yourself as God's child. Why is this so important? Because in this freedom, we've been adopted into God's family. And we were adopted into God's family when we were not ideal candidates for adoption. There was nothing in us that attracted him to us. We weren't those cute little kids. Man, I want those kids in my family. No, there was nothing about us. We brought nothing to the table, and he adopted us anyway. He brought everything to the table, and we brought nothing to the table. We are free from deception. We are free as sons. Third, we are free in Christ. First part of verse 36 says, "So if the Son sets you free," see that? Did you catch that? If the Son sets you free. What does it mean to be free in Christ? It's setting aside your priorities, your preferences, your ideas, your ways of doing things, and submitting to the only person that can save you and give you true and lasting freedom. The problem for a lot of us is that we want the freedom, but we don't want it to come through Jesus. We try to make our life better on our own. The reality is you don't need a better life, you need a new one. Galatians 2:20, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I don't live anymore, I'm dead. Christ lives in me." We need new life, not just a better one or an improved one or whatever we can muster up on our own. We need to be free in Christ. We do not free ourselves. The problem is that a lot of us want the freedom without the Jesus part. We go, yeah, I see that. I see the being free indeed part. I just want that. If I can just come to the Bible, learn about freedom, I'm going to figure the rest of this out. But if you got to look at this verse, it says, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. There's an implied if-then here. If this. If this happens, then this happens. So, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. A lot of us want the then without the if. We want the result of the freedom without the redemption that actually leads to freedom. We have it backwards. A lot of us want just enough of Jesus to think that we don't need him anymore. And this should not be the case. That we are meant to be free in Christ. And it's not just a one-time thing. Being free in Christ is not just the thing that happens the day that you get saved or the day that you believe. It is a continual process where God is refining you and making you into the person that he wants you to be. So if you see it as a one-time event, it's not the case. I would encourage you to read more in Scripture and learn more about this continual process where God can refine. So we're free from deception, we're free as sons, and we're free in Christ. Christ is the reason for our freedom, but a lot of times we like to take him out of it. And if you don't think that's you, just think back through the last couple of times you ran to something or you made a decision on your own that led to regret or pain. You were looking for freedom in something other than him. And I love John Piper's thoughts on this. He asks this question: if you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends you ever had on earth and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all the natural beauty you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ were not there? Ask yourself this morning, do you want the things surrounding God, or do you want God? We don't go to God to get things. We go to God to get him. So if for some reason in your life you went to Jesus to get freedom, to basically not have to go to hell and then go on living any way that you want to, that is not what freedom in Christ is. Free from deception, free as sons, and free in Christ. And I know I'm presuming something here today. I'm presuming that everybody in this room wants to be free. The reality is many of us don't. At least some of us don't. Some of us find our sin so pleasurable that the idea of being separated from it does not sound appealing at all. Many of us don't want that kind of freedom. But what I would say to you is that if you could take the pleasure part of that and remove the bondage, that you would take that deal. What you like is the pleasure. You don't like your bondage to it. And what Jesus is offering here when you have freedom in him is that he's offering to fill those desires the way that they were meant to be filled, the way that leads to life, not the way that leads to destruction. We should want this kind of freedom. If you really think about it, really think about what freedom is. It's not about having no master, it's about having the right master. It's not being able to do whatever you want. It's choosing the freedoms that lead to life, not the ones that lead to death. We're free from deception. We're free as sons. We are free in Christ. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, the true freedom in Christ is not freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin. That's where the freedom is. It's freedom from the bondage, from the slavery that you put yourself in when you run to those things to satisfy you, and they just can't. And finally, we see that we are free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What does it mean to be free indeed? It means to be really free. Some of your translations say free through and through, entirely free, completely free, not kind of free, not I think I'm free, but I'm really deceiving myself, or I think I'm free, but I'm really doing it on my own and trying to free myself, like actually free. Like when you're free indeed, it means that you have the freedom to do what will make you happy in 10,000 years. That kind of freedom. Not what makes you happy today or tomorrow or even in this lifetime, but to do the things that will lead to lasting satisfaction, that will lead to life forever, not just here. We don't live for this world. We live for the next one. He wants us to be free indeed. So how do we get to free indeed? Let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning. Verse 31. Jesus says that we're just going to connect a few things. If you have a Bible and a pen, I want you to underline these six things or however you do this. Let's follow this track. How do we get to free indeed? Because Jesus connects a lot of different points here. Verse 31, abide in my word. So we abide in the word. Then Jesus says we will truly be disciples. So we see those in verse 31. Abide in the word, truly be disciples. Then in verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you abide in the word, and you will truly be disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, if Jesus sets you free, then you will be free indeed. When you trace this back, what does it mean to be free indeed? You trace it all the way back to where Jesus started. And it's abiding in his word. It's being familiar with the things that Jesus says. It's being familiar with the Bible. It's about knowing the Bible to be something to sustain you that you cannot live without. We could talk for a lot longer on this, but let me ask it this way. You might say, Cameron, how do I know if I'm abiding in the word? Let's put it like this. What if you could only charge your cell phone for as long as you read your Bible every day? Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it? Not all night long. You can't just plug it in and walk away. What if you could only charge your phone for as long as you're reading your Bible? Could you make it through the day on that much charge? Hurts me too. I get it. That's abiding in the word. Many of us abide in our cell phone. I don't have to teach. I don't know why I looked over there. Some of the young people, sorry. I'll look right down the middle. A lot of us abide in our cell phones. I don't have to teach you what it means to abide in something. You just have to know to abide in the right thing. And Jesus is saying that when you abide in the word, then you'll truly be disciples. And you will know the truth because you're reading about it. And that truth will lead to freedom. And when the Son sets you free, then you're free indeed. Abiding in the word leads to being free indeed. So we're free from deception. We're free as sons. We're free in Christ. And we're free indeed. So one of the questions I want to ask you today is, do you see this as a threat to your personal freedom? Or, better yet, do you see this as the ultimate freedom? Because you're probably in one of those two areas. You either hear what Jesus is saying here and you go, man, that's not the kind of freedom that I had in mind. I had my own plan. Or you see it as truly liberating, as the ultimate freedom. And I want you to ask yourself that. I want you to consider that this morning. Not just to hear the word, but to actually have it impact, to go from your head to your heart, to think about your relationship to freedom. Most of us saw this concept of freedom play out on TV and online this week. In fact, most of the world did, with the soccer team that was stuck in the cave in Thailand. Surely everybody knows what I'm talking about here. The soccer cave, the soccer team that went into that cave in Thailand. And what happened was that they didn't realize that it was the rainy season. The rain came in, they had to retreat further into the cave than they had planned on, and they got stuck. And they needed somebody or someone or something to come rescue them. And so what happened was their parents began to notice that they were missing, and they in a stream of what a lot of people would call miracles, one thing leading to another. They found their stuff. They found the cave system that they were in. They found the exact lane that they were in. And then they found these boys, these 12 boys and their coach. And they were all alive. We can clap for that. They weren't doing great, but they were alive. They needed oxygen. They needed to be nourished. Then hundreds, if not thousands of people rallied around this cause so that these boys could get out of the cave. If you followed the news, you know that some of these boys couldn't even swim. Like, there was no hope for these guys to get out of this cave. No hope. So they had to get the most experienced cave divers, one of whom was a doctor, to go be with them to sustain them while they figured out how to get them out of there. And they finally figured it out, and there was a lot of ideas and a lot of bad ideas and some good ideas. And so they figured out a way. They would get them out, two or three or four at a time. And after a couple of days of planning, they were able to rescue all of these people. And the reason that this shows us about freedom is because these people, the soccer team, had the freedom to go into this cave, but they did not have the freedom to leave whenever they wanted. Conditions changed. It's not what they thought that it would be. They walked in, they couldn't get out. Not on their own. They needed something else. They needed other people, thousands of other people, to intervene to come and rescue them. And I'd be willing to bet, I've never been to Thailand, I didn't speak with these boys personally, I'd be willing to bet that they're not going back into that cave anytime soon. Why? Because that would be dumb. That would be very, very dumb. Their lives are not the same. Their lives are very different. Their lives are changed. They went into the cave, they couldn't make their way out. They had the freedom to go in. It did not lead to any more freedom. Their freedom was basically done at that moment. They were free to just sit there and die. That's what they were free to do. Until these brave men and women went in and rescued them and freed them. The only people that could. They couldn't do it on their own. And what I want you to see here is that obviously it would be stupid to go back into the cave. But you and I do it every day. God rescues us from the thing that we need to be rescued from, and we're perfectly content walking right back into the cave like we live there or something. What Jesus wants you to see today is that you don't live in the cave anymore. He has pulled you out of the cave. And your life should look different because of it. Your life should not look the same. If you are free from deception, if you are free as sons, if you are free in Christ, then you are free indeed, and your life ought to look different. And if it doesn't look different this morning, then I want you to contemplate. I want you to think about where this whole concept of freedom in your life breaks down for you. Is it the freedom from deception part? If you're free from deception in this room, praise God. If you are not, then I implore you to run to the truth found in Jesus. If you are not free from deception, I pray that you would be today. Many of you are free as sons, praise God. Some of you are not. Some of you are still a slave to that stuff you just can't seem to get rid of. Stop trying to get rid of it on your own. Run to him. Run to your father so that you can be a son and not a slave. Some of you are free in Christ. You see him as the one that creates your freedom. Some of you just don't. For you, I pray that you would run to Jesus as the only one that can lead to your freedom, your true and lasting freedom. And lastly, some of you are free indeed, but some of you are not. Some of you think you're free. You were free once in your life. You're free in some areas of your life, but there's that one thing that you just cannot seem to be free of. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to improve your position. Run to him, the only one that can save you, the only one that can truly free you. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray.